This is It's PR, Not ER, your weekly dose of triumphs and mishaps in the world of public relations.
Well, hello. If you've been longing and looking to brighten up your day with a little bit of idle tittle-tattle from the world of public image and reputation, look no further. You've come to the right place. My name is Nick Wilmshurst. Hello, nice to meet you. And this podcast isn't just for PR nerds. No, no, for the next however long we feel like it and for as long as you can take it, we're going to talk about the stuff that fuels conversations at kettles in offices and at school gates across the land. So what are we going to talk about in our very first episode? Well, I'm going to be talking about Neil Young and his Glastonbury U-turn over the new year. But I'm not alone here. No. Here as well is Martha Phillips from Source PR. What are you talking about?
Hello, I'm going to be talking about James Corden following the Gavin and Stacey finale. Has he redeemed himself in the world of entertainment?
And Lewis.
And I'm going to be talking about 17-year-old darting phenomenon Luke Littler.
Well, we almost got the theme tune right there. That's something for next week.
Yeah,
you know, if we
definitely can
hit the end of the theme,
right? Done.
We're gonna be doing really, really well. Welcome along. What a wonderful
Happy New Year!
It's PR, not ER.
Yeah.
I've got a confession to make before we get started.
Oh.
So I uploaded our podcast trailer over Christmas.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I did it over Christmas because I'm dedicated.
I like that.
The only issue is that I did it quite early in the morning with a pretty bad Christmas sort of hangover, and I called it "It's ER, not PR."
Right. Well, have you corrected that?
Yeah, it's all right now.
People might be saying that by the end of this.
Yeah. It's all right now.
Our podcast might be in the Hall of Shame.
It might be. This is the thing I was going to say. I will get to the Hall of Shame in a bit and what all that's about. So how was everybody's New Year's and Christmases and everything?
Mine was good, although I've been hit with the man flu over Christmas, so it's done me over this year. So it's been quiet for me, but quite nice.
So many people have had that.
I know, yeah. I know.
I hit a new record.
Did you?
Three tubs of Quality Streets.
Three tubs.
So I made a cup of tea whilst the kettle was boiling, 10 Quality Streets, chocolate hobnob with my cup of tea, washed down with 4 wine gums.
Wow.
Quite impressed that you only did 4 wine gums.
And cheese addiction, gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Cheese and biscuits after every meal.
Some just sort of mopping up the cheese. Is that what you were doing?
No, Nick, I bought more.
You bought fresh cheese after
fresh
Christmas?
Cheese.
What are you doing?
Is there a cheese AA out there?
Let's hope
I
so.
I need to go.
Because you definitely need to go to cheese AA. You bought more cheese?
More cheese.
I bet the cheesemonger was pleased to see you. Was it a cheesemonger? I assume you've got an artisan cheesemonger.
It was a desperate co-op down the road job.
Yeah, all the cheesemonger I'd left was debris.
Hashtag sad joke already.
I honestly thought better of you, Lewis.
That's really not very
It's not mature. Yeah, all right.
Not you as well.
It's the cheese.
I can't be doing this.
It's the cheese.
I have got a good joke about cheese, to be fair.
Have you?
Yeah, no, it's a good one. How do you hide a small horse using cheese?
Ooh.
Mascarpone.
Oh.
Right.
Should we move on? How was your Christmas?
Oh, my Christmas? Yeah, it was lovely, thanks.
Good.
Right. So, we've got to say some thank yous.
Yes, we do.
And which, you know, I'm not sure that everybody wants to hear, but, you know, we have to because we're surrounded by nice people who've helped
Very
us out
kind.
With this podcast.
Yeah.
First thank you goes to the peachy, aww, Denise Mogici.
Thanks, Denise.
And she works at Bracken Workspace Plus, where there happens to be a podcast studio where we're recording this podcast.
And it's lovely.
It is lovely.
Thanks, Denise.
And we've managed to nail the hot tap today on the first try, which is good.
No,
didn't
is
need
good.
A first aider.
No.
I will not have a hot tap in my house. I will not have one. And I feel a bit like a Luddite about that because, you know, loads of people have them in their posh, shiny kitchens. In fact, I've had a new kitchen recently.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And we had the option of hot tap and I refused.
I'm the same. We've just about to get a new kitchen, got offered one. No, because the brew tastes nothing like a brew does with a boil kettle.
Yeah.
But it's convenient.
Very convenient.
Very convenient. if you don't burn yourself.
But I'm just I am petrified of burning myself. You know, just going and washing my hands and burning myself. Because yeah. It's exactly the sort of thing that I would do.
Oh, yeah.
Right, anyway, so there's Hot Taps and also Bracken Workspace Plus. Thank you. And we also need to say thank you to our lovely voiceover man,
legend.
Martin Wiskin. Martin Wiskin.
Thank you, Martin.
Great guy who offered us his voice. We took it with open arms.
Yeah,
he does our voiceover. So if you need any voiceovers doing, get in touch with Martin. He is ace. Shall we, before we carry on, just explain a little bit about the Hall of Fame and Hall of Shame? Because this is kind of what, this is the crescendo of the podcast at the end. So we're going to talk about several things in the world of PR. And, but, you know, this is the wonderful thing about PR is that it's just stories. It's people doing stuff and how people perceive those people.
And how it impacts on their reputation, whether it's a brand or a person.
But it's stuff we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you bundle it up as PR, but actually it's just stuff we talk about. So the whole purpose is that we talk about all this stuff. And then we decide at the end of the podcast who goes into
Hall of Shame.
Or who is going into the Angelic Hall of Fame.
Love those.
I still think that's a bit too long. I did try to cut the angels down. Oh, fine. Okay.
I think it's good.
Before we go on as well, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us. There's a link in the little show notes by the side of this podcast where you can just click and send us an email. And we don't have a secretary or anything or somebody in charge of our admin. We will all read it. So if you're going to slag us off, just be aware.
Constructive slagging off.
There is no filter. You are going to hurt our feelings.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that, all right? Okay.
Good.
Should we have a look at what's been catching our eyes this week?
Definitely. Yeah. So bear with me on this one. Ooh. First of all, confession time. I've only ever watched one episode of Gavin and Stacey, and that was the Christmas special in 2019.
I've never seen it. Ever.
Right,
wow,
both
that
of
really
you already.
Shocks me.
Get that button
you.
Pressed now. You can both go into the
Hall of Shame.
But I did watch this year's Christmas special. Well, not Christmas special, also the finale. And oh my, laughed out loud from the beginning to end. So as a result, I'm now binging on all episodes and I'm up to 2008 Christmas special. So who I wanted to talk about today was James Corden, because obviously it's written by him and his co-writer, Ruth Jones. So first of all, fantastic, talented comedian, writers, brilliant. But the first time I'd heard of James Corden, he appeared in my newsfeed 15 years ago when he did that hilarious comic relief sketch with the England team. Do you remember that?
No.
So, yeah, I was 12.
Don't care. Are you going to do this all the way through?
Yeah, yes. Try not to do this too much, Lewis, please.
Sorry, but I was 12, so I'd just started high school at that point.
So since then, obviously he moved overseas, as we know, to America, Late 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 Show, or just the Late Late Show.
I can never remember how many late
it was. They were on late at night.
It was late in America.
He's got like a huge list of A-lister pals, hasn't he now?
Massive.
As we know. So anyway, I just thought, just look into this. So obviously what he appears in my newsfeed for since that 2019 Christmas special, since he moved stateside, allegations of rude behaviour, there was the restaurant incident, workplace culture rumours on the Late Late Show, and criticism of his performances in the Cats and the Prom. Now, I've watched Cats, and I love West End shows, as you very well know, Lewis.
Yeah.
And Cats is one of my favourite. I have to say, I didn't think it was a great film, but I still loved it and enjoyed it. So, critics have suggested his public perception, he's rude and insincere. And I think it's sharply divided. And actually, since he moved stateside, I think he's more favoured stateside than here on UK soil. But has that finale changed public perception? So, bringing it back to Gavin and Stacey, it attracted 12.5 million viewers, making it the highest festive TV audience in 16 years.
I mean, that's massive, isn't it?
Massive.
What were Morecambe and Wise doing back in the day? It can't have been far off that. That was like 18, 20 million, wasn't it?
Well, and I guess the thing there, they won't have had all the promotion channels now as well.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I genuinely was looking forward to the Gavin and Stacey finale more than Christmas itself this year.
Do you? What?
Whoa.
That's how
huge.
So I've watched Gavin and Stacey all the way through, and I think it's very clever comedy.
It's very relatable because...
And it's just real.
I've been told I'm like Pamela, especially when guests come round. I go into this like... Right, like fluff the cushions, everyone stands in your spots, they come in, they're here, and then everyone act natural when they come through the door.
And then you're the one who's unnatural when they walk in and everyone else has gone.
It takes a lot for me to laugh out loud at a TV programme. I don't actually watch that much TV. So it's getting me over my January blues for sure, and I'm really enjoying it. But like I said... Has the success of the finale redeemed James Corden?
Well, there's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because I feel like James Corden is one of these people, you know, he's a classic British personality who has done really well. Mm. And it almost feels like the natural thing to try and shoot him down a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Now, I don't know whether that's just a British thing or whether, you know, he's...
I think it's a media British thing, isn't
it? Yeah, I think
and
it
we
is.
Don't know him. And I mean, I always find it fascinating we're here now talking about him. We don't actually know him.
No.
And, you know, so we're only going on what the research we've done and what the press say. But I think, for me, in summary, I think...
You're not a judge.
Sorry.
In summary.
Has anyone got a gavel?
I think what's going to... It's going to depend on now is his future work and his public interactions. So I personally feel like he will have redeemed himself, certainly as a writer and an entertainer. And you can't take away the brilliant writing of him and Ruth Jones with Gavin and Stacey, and especially that finale. And I've seen some behind the scenes of how they write it, and they actually sit and talk like this. And then so that they are very funny people naturally, I think. Well, they are. I'm going to put James Corden in your Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame.
With Ruth Jones, obviously.
Oh, obviously, yeah. What's been cooking your bacon, Lewis?
So, mine's the sort of typical one that's being spoken about by everybody, but Luke Littler. 17-year-old.
Darts, come on, darts. Darts legend now.
World champion. A 17-year-old after his first proper debut year. And I think not necessarily what he's doing in terms of darts, but in terms of what he's doing for the sport and a younger generation coming through.
He's inspiring them, isn't he?
Yeah, and opinions are divided by some of the other sort of like darts players on the tour, but saying that he's not a darts player, he's a celebrity, but... His stats show that he's actually one of the best in the world that has ever been. Like, he's had one of the highest averages in the latest 2025 World Champs. He had the most 180s ever in that tournament. He's made over 1.5 million at 17. But obviously, like, what he's doing for the sport of darts. Is, and then one thing which I did find out earlier, which is actually really interesting, is his semi-final last year, when it was like his debut tournament, was just after he'd played the World Youth Championships. Mm-hmm. And he got to the final and lost in the final last year. But it was the most watched non-football event on Sky Sports.
Wow.
No way.
And I just think what he's doing for a sport is incredible.
Now, is darts a sport? Because I love the training regime in the pub.
It's a touchy one.
Maybe I should take up darts. But... You don't have to have like a really intense fitness regime, do you?
You've got to have a good eye, good eye hand eye coordination. Yeah. And if you say that, well, what's the difference between that and throwing a javelin?
Exactly.
I would say quite a lot.
I think I'd rather be hit by a dart than a javelin.
That's depends one where. I mean, the thing is,
no, I would.
I mean, a javelin's going to do more damage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but yeah.
But if you get hit by a dart in the eye.
I think if you got hit by a javelin in the eye, it'd probably hurt as well.
I think your argument's pretty solid, actually.
That'd be like that famous scene from the Battle of Hastings.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
With the arrow.
Yeah. King Harold.
One thing that I do have to say, though.
Look at me, intelligent.
I know.
Do a history show.
One thing, though, that I do have to say, and it has really tickled me, is I saw on social media that a parent had put on saying, I've been out in the snow, the hail, the rain, the wind to watch my children play rugby, football, everything, and they've not made any money from it. Luke Littler's dad took him to the pub growing up.
Yeah, good point.
And is now expected to make a full career fortune of over £100 million.
Wow.
And he just has to watch him in the comfort of a pub.
Well, he probably didn't even watch him. He probably just left him with the bar staff and just said, I'll be in corner if you need me. A packet of crisps and a Britvic 55 and you're fine, aren't you?
So who's his competitor and how old is he?
Well, there's anybody on the tour. So you've got like Michael Van Gerwen, who he beat in the final. Luke Humphries, who beat him last year in the world final and was expected to do quite well and get to the final this year. Michael Smith. You've got a good sort of crowd of it. And one thing which I think touching on that is, it's quite nice to see is, although it's not kind of a split in the sense of like 50-50 down the middle, you do get female darts players that do play in the world champs, which is nice to see. So you get like Fallon Sherrick, who does, and I just think that in terms of the commentary teams as well, it's a female darts player who commentates with a male. It's hosted by a female as well. And I know it's obviously, in terms of the sport, like, you don't really, I wouldn't say, have a physical advantage. I don't know enough about darts to know whether it does affect anything in that, in sort of a physical advantage. But it's good to see that the tours are mixed and the same opportunities there for both.
I think you're right. I think it's one of the very few sports where actually there can be, you know, no event, no advantage from gender whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think that's great to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the debates that's come about following Luke Littler in the darts and how sort of widely watched it was around the world was, what's harder, a hole in one in golf, a nine dart finish, or a 147 break in snooker? So, and I think that coming off the back of that, like, so Sean Murphy, who's quite a big name in snooker, he has taken social media and he's been like recording his clear demonstration of his hand-eye coordination. Now, he threw a nine dart finish. He's hit a 147 in snooker, with that being his chosen sport, and also not done the hole-in-one in golf yet, but he's starting now filming that, and it's taken off on social media platforms with the traction around it, that that is what he's going for. So my question would be, what is harder? Because for me, I think a 147 in snooker is hardest skill-wise, but I think to overall achieve it, a hole-in-one in golf would be harder because it requires a lot more, like, the weather and a bit of luck.
Yeah, I think you know, you can practice. You can practice on, with all of them, obviously. But I think when it comes down to a hole-in-one in a competitive golf match, there are so many variables.
Yeah.
You know, so many variables on that day. I think it's got to be hole-in-one.
My question is, have you ever thought about doing a sports podcast?
Oh, he's only just started doing this one.
We just start this one. If anyone needs someone on a sports podcast, I'd be more than
He's there.
I know, it's unbelievable. First day.
That's it.
So where are we going with that? Where are we going with Mr. So, Littler?
I think there's only one place we can go with Luke Littler, and that is into the Hall of Fame.
Welcome, Mr. Littler. Beautiful. I wonder whether we should start sending certificates out to people. You know, you should have thought about this. You're in marketing.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Do you think they'd take a picture of themselves with a certificate and tag us all?
Well, that's what we've got to think about, isn't it?
Maybe not the Hall of Shame.
Let's see if mine gets in there. I want to talk about Neil Young, who over the new year...
Controversial.
I mean, I think it was on New Year's Eve, decided that he was going to pull out of his headline slot. You know, this is not... He's not making up the numbers on a Sunday afternoon. Headline slot at the Glastonbury Festival. Uh-huh. And he completely took his bat and ball home, it seems, over the BBC being involved with Glastonbury, which is mad because they've been involved with Glastonbury for decades now. And he said that the corporation wanted he and his band to do a lot of things that they just weren't interested in. We don't actually know what those things are. So whether the BBC had asked them to, like, do Newsnight or answer a few questions or mastermind while, you know, while they're in town, we just don't know.
And why New Year's Eve?
Why New Year's Eve? Yeah, you're quite right. I don't know. I mean, it's an odd time to go, nah. Because I doubt anyone at the BBC, having worked there, will have been there on New Year's
Eve. Yeah, well, maybe that's, I don't know, but because it certainly caused a lot of media attention, didn't it? But Neil, he's renowned for being vocal, isn't he? And I think it's just a reflection of his values,
and
when all said and done.
I love that.
And he's always been like this. This isn't something new. So I think if you're a fan of Neil Young, then it's just, it doesn't change perception of him because this is Neil Young.
Exactly. And his whole thing is, this is why he took all his stuff off Spotify. You might remember a few years ago, he said, I don't want my stuff on Spotify, thanks. Yep. He'd rather people went out...
Not the first artist to do that.
No, he'd rather people went out and bought records. Or, and I think more importantly, and I think this was his point with the BBC thing, although we don't know officially, that he wants people to experience his music the way that the band wants it to be experienced. Therefore, you buy a record, you go to a show, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's all about the live music. And, you know, hats off to him. There are question marks now, though, even though he has now U-turned on that and said, it's all right, lads. I'll still turn up, I'll still go. We still don't know if we will get anything on the TV from Glastonbury. I don't know about you. I love Glastonbury on the TV.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you are at a festival without having to be around people. And I like that.
What did you think of Greg James's...
Do you know what?
Joke about it. I wasn't sure about that.
I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine with Greg James there because I just think it was... And I hate to say
this, Greg. He confused people.
It maybe did. I'll come on to that in a minute. But I just thought it was an opportunity for a bit of a laugh. I think it was quite...
It's what his show's about. It was quite lighthearted. Yeah, I don't
think there was any malice in there whatsoever. I think it's fine. What I have got an issue with is people not understanding the joke. I've got an issue with people not understanding the news cycle and having just gone, he's just leaving anything. Oh, no, that's awful. and not understanding what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're your keyboard warriors, aren't they? Just straight away.
I just think it might
throw
be stupid.
Throw the fingers
people.
On the keyboard. Yeah, okay.
Personally. So anyway, and I think, you know, the whole thing with Greg James, I'm fine with. So I am... going to put both Greg James and Neil Young in the wonderful heavenly.
Welcome
to heaven.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, we are. But what I was going to say was, don't forget, that's this week. Next week, they could completely naff it all up.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in the
Hall of Shame.
You just wanted to play that again, didn't you?
It's been a little
while. Guys, can I come in with a late entry?
If you want.
I know we're only meant to have one each, but... Monday night, so before I go to bed, always watch the evening news, Look North.
Yeah.
Monday night, thought I was watching Look North. Yeah. It's actually BBC London.
Oh,
which I've seen this.
So my partner's doing the whole, is it because it's on Sky? You know, we just couldn't understand it. And I'm obviously trying to get the remote and move it all around. So anyway, after a minute and a half, clearly technical glitch. But it was good to hear about the controversial Silvertown Road Tunnel that's being built in South London. So learn something new.
Where is that? Silvertown?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
The prices they're charging on peak time for cars to go through it.
Right.
Oh, there's outrage. Outrage. Anyway, then cut back to Look North.
Yeah.
And it actually highlighted again why I love Look North. And the reporting of Look North. And I think just Yorkshire reporting.
I think just Yorkshire in general.
Oh. Yeah.
So
Yorkshire.
This reminded me of in 2011. Do you remember when Yorkshire experienced the earthquake?
Oh, yeah.
They reported from a garden with plastic furniture on its side and a ceramic plant pot broken.
Who can forget?
And, we had an earthquake. So it reminded me a bit of this. So, you know, I'm not going to take away the weather conditions have been horrendous and I hope everyone has managed to stay safe. So they reported on the serious weather conditions and showed a very serious collision of two cars touching each other.
Just slightly kissing.
But no damage.
Touching.
Bumper to bumper.
And then there was a branch weighted down with snow over the road. And this was a drooping conifer tree with a fallen leaf. But my favourite... My absolute favourite.
I feel like we need a drum roll for this bit.
Oh, hang on.
Hold on.
I can give you one. Hang on.
Go on, get a drum roll.
It's not quite. It's more like a joke one. You ready?
Go on.
Doesn't really work.
We then pan to...
Yeah.
Chris Wood.
Yeah.
And underneath... Wait for it.
Yeah.
AA Patroller of the Year.
Whoa.
What a legend.
He is a legend.
What a legend.
He is a legend.
Get him in the Hall of Fame.
Get him in the Hall of Fame. You want him in the Hall of Fame?
I want to meet him. Yeah. I want to go to the AA Patroller of the Year Awards.
Basically, Chris Wood, AA Patroller of the Year. If you're listening, drop us an email. Martha will send you a gift pack out.
Whoa.
Are we at that point?
Yeah? Binding. I've just got to say, in defence of Look North, that, you know, having worked in local media for a number of years, you do often, as a reporter, find yourself in the situation where your editor says, right, Snowy, get out and go and find some chaos. You get out there, there is no chaos.
Yeah.
And you go with the best thing you can find. And obviously, for this reporter's job that day, that was the best they could do. And it's not an easy job, you know.
Well, we got Chris Wood.
So I tell you what then, should we have a quick fire of the other stuff that's sort of been kicking around this week? So, Lewis, what have you seen?
So, one thing which I think it's a great supermarket, by the way, I think the meat selection's fantastic. Aldi, record sales.
Oh, don't get me started on Aldi.
So they had the best Christmas sales in the UK. It could have been to do with Kevin and his mince spies.
I'm like the Truman Show with Aldi when I unpack it.
That's great.
Turning it around,
yeah.
Going, £2 for this? It's the real one, £7.50 at the Cartmel.
Oh, yeah,
sticky
toffee
pudding.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Champagne, amazing.
How much is the champagne in Aldi? Let's see.
£11 now.
Wow. We do have a sponsorship space available on this podcast.
And we will drink it during the show.
I'm not sure we'll get a look in, Lewis.
I think I'll go back to the hot tap.
anyway, you were saying...
Aldi, record sales over Christmas. They've seen a year-on-year increase of nearly 5%, which is pretty good.
That's good, isn't it?
And I just think that they've just got it right.
Well, their Twitter, their social media.
They've just genuinely got everything right, and they're so on the wire with it.
Yeah. I love their TV ads. Yeah. I think they're brilliant. The whole thing about they all say they're as cheap as Aldi. Sorry, mate, the only one as cheap as Aldi is Aldi.
Well, the Aldi price match.
I love
that. They've dominated the other supermarkets with that.
Aldi's, are we putting them in the... Should we go for it?
Yeah, I think we'll put Aldi in the Hall of Fame.
And the social media team.
I want to do a separate Hall of Fame for Aldi's social media team.
Okay, this button's going to wear out.
Wow.
It's going to wear out. I'm just going to drop one in here. King Charles III's Christmas message. Yeah. It's annual. Is it a traditional thing in your homes to watch?
I've got a confession. I've not even seen it. I just saw an article.
I have some friends and family who it's a big thing. They sit down, have a glass of fizz and watch it.
Never been a thing in my house, any house I've ever lived in.
I will watch it. I've got nothing against it. But no, do you know, I didn't watch it.
Well, he did things like praise healthcare workers for their dedication.
Rightfully.
Unity displayed by communities, you know, in response to the anti-immigrant riots that we had during the summer.
Yeah.
It was Fitzrovia Chapel that he did it from, emphasising themes of healing and togetherness. But, I mean, the interesting thing I think about the whole Christmas message is it's almost like the party political broadcast from the royal family every year, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I get a feeling that King Charles is kind of trying to win that battle still of trying to win people over and make people like him. And I don't know, do you think people are that bothered anymore about the royal family? I mean, there will be staunch royalists.
There's always polls on this, around. Isn't there? And I think it's always very split, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, everyone says what they bring to the economy. And I'm a royalist. I really like the royal family. I love our history as a country. I think, obviously, King Charles and Catherine Middleton have had some health scares. I think it shows that they are just real people like us. You know, they're not untouchable. Health doesn't discriminate. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for him because I don't think he's well-liked, is he? I think that is clear to see when he goes the reaction from people when he's visiting places and goes on tour. And I think, unfortunately, he had very, very big shoes to fill, didn't he?
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, whenever it happens, I think William's going to have a lot easier, smoother ride into it all, isn't he? The royals just interest me. And, you know, especially in this day and age where what is a royal family for is an interesting question.
So where are you putting King Charles?
I don't know. I'm a little bit...
The suspense is actually killing me on this.
You can't put a royal in the Hall of Shame.
No, and he can't be the first one.
Some royals you can. But let's not mention that one.
So, I've got one. I was obsessed with Blur growing up. I'm not afraid to admit, I once stood outside Damon Albarn's house in London. I know, when he was going out with Justin from Elastica. Mm. I think I'd get arrested for that now.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you not get arrested back then?
He came out. And
what, to tell you to
leave? And I was saying to my friend at the time, you know, play it cool, Rodney. Play it cool. And yeah, when I saw him, I was like, oh, because I always loved Alex James to the point where I used to carry a picture of Alex James around in my wallet.
If I was going to go for a member of Blur...
Alex James,
yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, the way he flipped his hair. But he's just released his autobiography, which I haven't read yet. Obviously, I'm going to. And he's getting media attention because he apparently put a fag out on a religious symbol.
No.
Now... I think this is a bit ridiculous. It's his autobiography. So he's writing, obviously, what stuff that's happened and he thinks is relevant for the autobiography. And he's been really scrutinised for it. So I think people want him to go into the Hall of Shame, but I'm not.
I just think it's a rock and roll thing. Yeah. You know, obviously, there's disrespect towards a religion there, potentially. But he's a rock and roll guy.
I think as well, where do you draw the line with that? Because I always grew up as... the sort of rock and roll stars are the typical, like, hotel rooms, throwing stuff out the windows and stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same level of disrespect. The only difference with it being, and granted, like, it is disrespectful towards a religion, but it's the same level. Like, the hotel, it costs money still.
I once at school wrote a swear word, not a bad one, on the Bible and got caught by... my teacher, my RS teacher.
All of shame
for that one. Who also happened to be the deputy headmaster. Oh my, he stormed over, got the Bible, slammed it shut.
Wow.
Frog marched me to his office. Really, quite rightly so, laid into me and told me it was very disrespectful. And yeah, I learnt my lesson.
So, well, are we Hall of Fame in him then?
Of course we're Hall of Fame in him.
Okie dokie. Well, listen, you'll be pleased to hear we're almost at the end of the podcast. And I believe you've got a little bit of a special mention, Martha.
I have, yeah. And I think we couldn't do the first episode, and given that the honours list has just been announced again, without mentioning the legend that is Kevin Sinfield.
Absolutely.
Not only renowned for his exceptional rugby career, but tireless fundraising efforts for MND charities. Inspired by his former Leeds Rhinos teammate and close friend and the late Rob Burrow, also a legend. And, you know, he has raised over $11 million so far for MND research and the charities. But, yeah, like I said, absent from the 2025 New Year's Honours list. But when I've looked into this, there's actually protocol and there is a reason for it, according to the research that I've done. So, apparently, you have to... wait, so he was appointed Commander of the Order of the British Empire, which CBE, in 2024 New Year's Honours list for his services to MND. But you've got to wait 3 years. There's got to be a three-year interval before an individual can be knighted. So let's see. But the reason I wanted to mention him, obviously he deserves a mention, but I think once more what it's done, because of the backlash he received, not him, but obviously the fact he wasn't in the list, the backlash and media attention that received has once again reinstated the admiration he commands nationwide. So guess where he's going?
I should imagine. Yeah. I just think, and I won't go on too long, but I mean, the guy with the amount of, I mean, just the marathon running he's doing, that is just nuts. I mean, you know, I could not do one. And I know everybody will say, oh, I couldn't do one. I can't believe you can do seven. But, I mean, when you think about that and the amount of attention that's caused is brilliant. But also, just what a feat. What a guy.
Yeah. I think sometimes with certain cases, you've got to go against a protocol. When you look at some of the honours that are in the list.
Well, I think that's what received some of the backlash as well, the comparison.
Gareth Southgate, for example, Sir Gareth, you know, he's done a lot for football generally.
Yeah.
Not really ever won anything. But in terms of that protocol, do you put what his services to football higher than Kevin Sinfield's services to the charity, motor neurons disease charity, and rugby? And
well, no.
Protocol or not, I think you've got to make an exception.
But I think this is it, though. In a couple of years, he's slam dunk, sir, isn't he?
It's got to be.
It has to be.
Should we have a bit of a recap? Can you fit it into the 3 seconds that this goes on for? You ready?
Yeah.
If you fail, you are going in the Hall of Shame.
Okay, fine.
Are you ready, Lewis?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
James Corden, Luke Littler, Neil Young, Kevin Sinfield and Chris Wood, AA Patroller of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Well done, mate. Well done.
That was actually slightly easier than I thought it was.
Yeah, me too. I didn't think it was possible. Well
no,
done.
I didn't either, but I've done quite well with that.
And who is in
Hall of Shame?
Cheese.
Making me fat.
Yeah, no, cheese. Yeah.
My addiction.
Yeah, Christmas cheese.
I'm going to throw a late entry into this one. The month of January.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just find it so difficult to get back up and going.
Yeah,
so
fair
January
enough.
Can go.
I need to drop another one in.
Go on.
Frying pans.
Frying pans.
Do you explain?
You tell me the last time you had a frying pan that didn't get all burnt on the bottom, even a non-stick one. I have recently bought 2 new frying pans, both of which had burnt stuff on the bottom of them. Why? Why can this not be sorted out? And I think it's a modern day, it's a scourge.
How are you cleaning it? This is a genuine question.
Not in the dishwasher, mate.
No, not in the dishwasher.
Not in the dishwasher.
Not with
soap. If you scrub it.
Soap?
No.
No.
What?
That's where you're going wrong.
You're taking all of the non-stick layer off it.
Treat it like a wok.
So you...
Treat it like a wok.
No, a kitchen roll to wipe out the grease that's left in it.
So you don't wash them?
And then hot water, you're not meant to wash them.
Treat it like a wok.
You treat it like a wok.
Like
if anybody listening genuinely does have any recommendations for Nick of the best non-stick frying pans, fire away.
Please. But then I feel like it's not clean. You know, I like things to be clean.
Honestly, do you have a wok?
Well, we got rid of the wok.
For the same reasons?
No, not at all. Just no space for a wok.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
They are,
you know what I'm saying?
I've just thought I've got another entry. One last entry for the Hall of Fame. So, this week, today, whilst we are recording this, marks 1 year since Ginger Wizard Productions started.
Completely forgotten.
So,
congratulations.
We would just like to say congratulations.
Oh, you got me some wine.
We've got you some wine that says The Gov on it.
That's amazing.
Because you've kept us in check. And it'll go well with the cheese.
Oh, it's a nice Spanish one. Mm. Beautiful. Thank you very much.
So, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Well, what a happy first episode to us. Because I think we've navigated this okay. I mean, episode 2 will be better, obviously.
Soon see.
So, you know, come back for that.
Please
and,
do.
And, we'll be back next week when who knows what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
We could be talking about anything, really, couldn't we?
We could. Sorry, that was on me, wasn't it? No, we could. And if you have any recommendations, send them in, or any opinions on what we've covered, let us know.
And hopefully I won't have had cheese, as much cheese by the time we record.
How much cheese have you got left?
I've just bought another block.
You bought another block?
Leicester this time.
Red Leicester?
Red Leicester.
So are you doing the Stiltons or anything like that? We need to get the bottom of the list.
I don't like Stilton or blue.
Do you?
No.
They're the best of cheeses. What about a nice brie?
Love a brie.
Right, okay, let's end there. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye.